Welcome to the Home Care Hub, a podcast series for the Home Care Advocacy Network. HCAN is a business format franchise for senior living providers who want to operate a successful home care line of business and a great opportunity for any entrepreneur who wants to own their own home care franchise. To connect with us, visit HCANthrive.com today.
Welcome to the Home Care Hub, a podcast series sponsored by the Home Care Advocacy Network. And my name is Mark Getz. Again, I'm the president and CEO, and we have Abby Kulis here today. She's our marketing and PR intern from the University of
Nebraska-Lincoln.
That's right. Go Huskers.
Oh, yes.
So good to have Abby with us today. And we have a guest that we're very passionate about his topic today, Ben Rayo from Lee's Summit, Missouri. Ben, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Ben, you have a book coming out that's called Paying for Long-Term Care. Tell us a little bit about you and your current endeavors.
Yeah, so I spend 100% of my time in the long-term care space. I'm a partner in a couple of companies that provide services into that assisted living and long-term space and home health space. And over the last few years, I just really got to see a journey that was sad to see families in crisis mode when they hadn't planned for somebody that needed to move into an assisted living or memory care or something that there was had an incident that they were moving out of their home into full-time care. And it was because we see so much with those companies and so many families, I just kept seeing the same thing and everybody was lost and didn't really have an idea of what to do next. And it dawned on me that I had been through that same process about 6 years ago with my stepfather, Tom, who started to get very sick. And like many adult children, living 400 or 500 miles away from my parent. Mm-hmm. And you don't see the signs because you're not there every single day. Maybe, you know, you're coming back and seeing somebody every 2 or 3 months and you start to kind of notice it, but then things started really to digress. And, you know, the first thing was like, oh gosh, we don't want to have to move them into a long-term care community. And I don't want to live with that, you know, the guilt and all the things there. We try to keep them at home the best we can. So we hired an in-home healthcare company to come in and take care of my stepfather. And things started to progress to get sicker. And then he needed help to get out of bed. So then we had to get a new person in that was a larger male that could help lift him because he was a pretty big guy. Mm-hmm. And it didn't take long before we realized this wasn't going to work. And then it was now that was the next step of scrambling. You know, these families, you know, there's no plan. There's nothing on paper. I didn't know anything about where his assets were. I didn't know anything about, you know, what money he had or didn't have. And then I didn't know anything about how to research a care community. So I was going through all that myself. And then it was like, what are we going to do with the house? Does he qualify for VA benefits? Does he qualify for Medicaid? And I didn't know any of that. And that was all really a scramble, especially trying to do it remotely. I had a half-sister that lived about 30 minutes away. And so a lot of that burden fell on her, which is pretty common to have one of the adult children be very close to the family. And going through all that process and then into an assisted living and then bringing back home for hospice for the end of his life, I didn't realize what I had gone through and all the things I didn't know until now, having spending all my time in the senior living industry. And about 6 to 8 months ago, I started to say, you know what? I'm going to write a book. I'm going to write a book to help families to understand what the process is, what they can expect, what's going on with the industry, who the different stakeholders are and what that means, the different levels of care, how you can assess the care needs for a senior, then trying to make sure that you're organizing all their assets and then understanding what all the different options are for paying for care.
Yep.
Getting the family all on board and on the same page and how to deal with that. And then finally, how to transition that senior to care. So we lay that whole process out throughout the book and all the different options. So some of the book is emotional. Some of it's methodical roadmap stuff. And about half of the book is filled with different things to have for people to be able to pay for long-term care that they might not know or understand what's available.
Ben, I am so excited to dive into this a little bit more because if you're going to explain it, it's there's so many highly important disparate systems, not connected. It was my father-in-law and my mother-in-law just went through kind of very similar things over the past few years. he served in Vietnam, and he served near a certain area in Vietnam. He like in the Navy, he was able to get something called the Blue Water benefit. We would have never known anything about. There's a VA benefit. There's long-term care. But they're all kind of siloed and highly important to that person's care and paying for it and making sure they get the quality care that they need. And so I saw my mother-in-law, who is an expert. I mean, she's literally she's a geriatric resource nurse. And the amount of time, effort, energy that an expert had to put into managing all of that was just, it was to the normal person who has a job, you'd literally have to stop, take a class. You'd have to find somebody who's an expert at it. And there's just, you're almost not able to navigate it truly. And I think people end up giving up a lot of times.
I think you see families giving up. I think you see them getting stressed. As stress levels raise, you start to get arguments and disagreements about what we're going to do, who's making the decisions, who's going to pay for things. And it just creates a whole nother level of emotional stress on top of what's already crisis management, because maybe mom got discharged and the doctor said, this is the third time. She can't go back home. She's got to go somewhere for more 24-hour care, somewhere to keep her safe. Then the family's like, oh, cool. They just run out to Google and they start Googling. And the next thing you know, they're getting calls from all over the place because they put their name into a lead aggregator site or something, not realizing it. You know, coming from outside the industry, you know, I've been a serial entrepreneur for 20 years and built multiple companies and done things. And coming in from the outside, looking at it, it was like, I can help to translate between a family that knows zero to where it gets them to at least 50 or 60% to really understand where they are. I'm not going to get them to 100%, but they're, you know, I'm not the expert in VA aid and attendance, but I know that if they understand what it is and if they want to be, they want to be connected to somebody, I can connect them to VA aid and attendance people that I know that are in industry. And the same thing, you know, whether that's Medicaid or whether that's dealing with a house or whether it's long-term care insurance claims or other things they don't realize, you're converting life insurance policies, or do they have an HSA? And the other thing that I hope this book will do is I think it'll help people that are in their 50s and 60s that are dealing maybe with a parent going through this, or a friend or family, to start thinking more about what they should be doing to plan.
Yeah.
When they're going to be going through it, because 70% of us that make it past 65 are going to need some form of care.
100%. Yep.
So the book is filled with all those things. It points to the webpage that is filled with dozens of different checklists, calculators, questions to ask. You want to do a long-term care community or assisted living? Here's a comparison that's 4 pages of questions that has multiple columns that you can put the answers in each one. So you can organize those to do a comparison side by side. You know, giving people guidance on where they should start. You know, talking about the different resources like a geriatric care manager, or a placement agent, or a VA company that can help you to get the paperwork navigated there. So there's just a lot of resources, and people sometimes don't realize they can combine those things. But if you don't combine them in the right order, there may be consequences that were unintended. You know, if you said, "Oh, I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to take my house, and instead of selling it, I'm going to do it as a rental." Well, that rental income may offset where you don't qualify for VA or Medicaid. Yeah.
Right.
So there's different things like that people just don't realize that have, you know, unintended consequences. And if you read the book, Mark, you'd be like, this is pretty basic, but I'm trying to get people from 0 to 50%.
Yeah. Or 60%. It's a labyrinth of rules that you're absolutely right. You know, we work with clients locally. Well, they qualified for benefits, but then they found out they had a piece of ground in Western Nebraska and now they don't qualify for it. It's crazy. It's a labyrinth. It's a challenge for families just to make sure that they can get the benefits that that have been set up for them to access. But I've never seen anything like it where, like, if your car insurance was, or the benefits that flow from your home insurance, and not just insurance, but like the other larger benefits, you know, if they were as complicated to access as long-term care, just making sure that your loved ones are taken care of, there'd be a revolt.
There would be. It's I don't pretend to be the expert at all, but, you know, I deal with a lot of these different companies across the United States. So I've gotten to know a lot of people that run and own these different companies. And I've gotten to understand more than probably a lot of people that maybe be on the care side, as far as, you know, yeah, you talk about spend downs on Medicaid, or you talk about too many assets for VA or some of those things. We don't go super deep all the way across. I mean, you know, I don't know if writing a book was, I've always wanted to do it. I didn't know, who's going to listen to me, and why, you know, why am I okay? Why am I the guy to write the book? This was the perfect storm for me to be able to help bring people along and shepherd them into resources to help. And the beautiful thing is just like all of this leads back to helping that senior get to care as quickly as possible, and trying to reduce the stress for the family, because at least they have a little bit of a game plan.
Ben, that's great. And I think one of the things you'll find is that it's kind of like driving in my hometown of Harlan, Iowa. Anybody that's there is probably there for a pretty strategic reason. Like you don't get lost going there. Like you have to kind of know where you're going. So the people that are going to access your book, they're going to be there for a reason that's very personal to them. Let's talk about Family Solutions for Care. Talk about your path into where you're at right now.
Oh my gosh. That's probably a story for another day, but I'll give you the
maybe a whole episode version.
Yeah. So I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky. My parents were divorced at a very early age. I had an amazing childhood. My stepfather and my father got along very well. So there was nothing about the horror stories you hear about that. I grew up in a great neighborhood with lots of kids and just had a wonderful, wonderful childhood. Went through public schools, went to my parents said, hey, we're going to send you to a Catholic high school. I was like, no, it's a boys school with no girls. And then, you know, I got there and I wasn't there 2 months and it was amazing. Trinity High School in Louisville was great. I graduated from University of Kentucky. I graduated out of school. I have a degree in home economics, which is exactly what you think it is.
Yep.
It's what happens when you go to school for 5 years and you change majors 3 times.
Fantastic. Because
I was in interior design. I had a lot of credits in the College of Home Economics. And my father said, you better get out of college this year. So you sort of map out where you were going. Okay. I'm going to
get me out of here as fast as possible.
That's it. Yep. So I graduated and immediately went into being in a sales role for a large company where I worked and was very successful. And it moved me from Lexington to Cincinnati and then promotion to St. Louis, where I lived in St. Louis for 10 years. The interesting thing about that company is after being number two in the United States out of 200 reps and going to San Juan for the incentive trip, and I brought who is my wife now for 25 years to that trip. We weren't married. We were only engaged. And they said they fired me because they had a rule that you could only bring your spouse. And we'd gotten married the week after we got back and it still didn't matter. It was interesting. You just wouldn't see it today.
Yeah.
So that sent me on the path of saying, you know what, I'm going to work for myself. And so my father and I started a technology company. He was in Philly. I was in St. Louis, and sold technology to hospitals and banks and a lot of big companies. Did that for a while. Then I got into real estate investment. I started buying and flipping homes and have been doing that for 14 years and have a rental portfolio and a couple of commercial buildings. I sold a business. Every business has kind of led me to the next business. So the real estate investment, I noticed there were hundreds of thousands of people like me that were mom and pop type entrepreneurs doing between 1 and 100 deals a year. And why don't I create a platform that's a buying group and we'll bring all these people together to get better prices on materials. And so I built this national buying group where they had better pricing to buy stuff from Lowe's or Sherwin-Williams or insurance, and built that to about 15,000 members, of which they were paying to come in the front door. And then we were getting a percentage of what we drove and spending on the back. And I sold that business in 2017. And then I decided, I've got experience rehabbing. I'll buy an old post office and I'll do a historic tax preservation credit. And I'd never done a commercial project. I said, how hard could this be? And it just absolutely ate my lunch, just totally almost destroyed me. I was so far over budget and I was in over my head, but I muscled through it. We got it open. It's been very successful in downtown Lee Summit. That's a whole community effort to try to keep businesses in Lee Summit in our area, but while doing a real estate investment project. But then how do we keep and grow jobs here in Lee Summit? Awesome. So education, mastermind groups, coaching, referral groups, 30 offices, meeting rooms, event space. We had 10,000 people through the building in 2019.
Wow, that is awesome.
Yeah, and so I knew at some point somebody would come through the space where it would I could really use my skills, experience, and a company came through that was in the senior living industry. And that company was Family Solutions for Care. And so they came through because they were expanding and I started to get to know them and understand what they were doing. And they said, hey, maybe you could help us a little bit. And they paid me to be a third-party consultant to help in some of the areas. And that just evolved into me becoming a partner in that business. And it's a really neat business because you would think, you know, you mentioned earlier car insurance. And you would think that if you buy insurance and you pay for it, it's as simple as I'm going to call my insurance company and it's time for me to use my policy. And I just call them and then they start sending checks to pay for. And in long-term care insurance, it's very different. People have been paying for 20 years. Vernaculars and terms have changed. You know, it used to be nursing home. Now it's skilled nursing. You know, it used to be that, you know, there was no assisted living category. So policies didn't say that. And the insurance industry for long-term care really missed the mark from an actuarial perspective. They kind of thought it was going to be 15 to 20% of the people were going to use the policy. And it was closer to 40 to 50%. And so about 200 businesses or carriers consolidated out to about a dozen. And those dozen are bigger, high quality products that are still selling those products today. But a lot of people went out of business and the customers weren't out of luck because there's things in place. So they, you know, whether it's escrow or goes into receivership or whatever that is. So that now you've thrown in the complexity of people that bought policies from another company for years. Now you've got a third party administrator that's maybe administrating that or a company that bought that company's book of business. And there's about 400,000 variations of policies.
Wow.
Because every year, every carrier had 10 different riders and they had four different types of policies. And then each year those would change, different options. So it got to be pretty complex by accident, I think. And so now spin it forward. You've been paying on a care policy for 20 years and you go to activate that policy and you call your insurance carrier and it could be a third party administrator or it could be the carrier. And you say, I need to do this. And they send, okay, fill out this information. They send you 30 pages that you need to fill out. And they say, go gather all your medical records. Give us proof that, you know, the ADLs are being met. They need all this information. And so families get a little bit overwhelmed. They're already at the point, like they had no plan. And now this is like throwing gasoline onto it that now somebody that's an adult child, that's got a full-time life, maybe kids in school, you know, running around family, lives remotely or in a different city. And now I have to figure out, and hold times are 45 minutes to an hour with carriers. It's just been that way. And that's the way it is. And so every time you call back, it resets the clock for when you call them for a question. So there's a lot of different things that are there. The other thing that families don't know, and honestly, care communities don't know either, because it's not really part of what they do, but there's a lot of times that families have care that they received before they're ready to use their long-term care policy that may have qualified for that policy.
That's right.
So one of the things that we actually do as an advocate for families is that we have the ability to go back up to 2 years and get an idea of what was happening in their medical history to see if there's opportunity for us to go back to get them a larger refund or something to pull into the policy versus day one moving into a community. They're not going to ask that question because it's really not critical. They need somebody to move in, or a home healthcare agency is worried about just getting them taken care of. They're not really worried about what happened 12 months before related to a long-term care policy.
Yep. Because we get creative right now with our local pilot office where we have people approach us and say, you know, mom has a 90-day elimination period. How can we get through the elimination period as efficiently as possible? So then when, you know, and ease into care, because it's a financial question for families, but you also need to get creative in helping families get through the elimination period. Family Solutions for Care has seen, sounds like great success in helping families.
We've been doing this for about 7 years. We've helped thousands of families. We've helped families access over $200 million of benefits. We have a team of about 19 people. Most of those people are in our care team. And so they are working with families. Everything we do is totally HIPAA compliant. We also get the power of attorney So when a family engages us for our services, we take over the whole process. The family doesn't have to do anything.
Wow.
The family members can be a son or a daughter or sibling to spend time with their family, not spend time on the phone, trying to figure out, gathering records, pulling it together, not filling stuff out right. So we do a couple of things. We do 12 months worth of all the bill collection and then make sure it gets paid and filed properly based on the type of policy and the type of care. If somebody maybe goes into a hospital during a stent, we make sure we get those bills, offset the ones when they weren't at that community. Then, and we also go back that 2-year look back period. So on average, we are getting families an additional $23,000 that they would not have gotten on their own when they use our service. The other thing that's really interesting, a lot of people don't realize, when we go back and find something that triggers a policy, from the point that it triggers to now, there's a refund of all the premiums that they paid, because most policies, you don't have to pay your monthly premium for your care policy because you've already engaged it. So there may be, we've had times that we've gone back as much as 16 months and gotten people a check for $100,000. And then also that 16 months of policy reimbursement that they get. And then if you have to recertify throughout the year, we're used to that. That's something we're used to dealing with. We fight like hell for these families, because you might have an insurance company that says, well, we don't pay for assisted living. Your policy doesn't say that it covers assisted living in the state of Omaha or Nebraska, rather.
Sure.
Right. So, but wait, we've had 5 other claims where there's been a precedent that we've been able to get that approved in the state, and that's recognized that those are the same. So those are the kinds of things. My partners in the company came out of Genworth, so they have a really deep background in long-term care insurance. Before that, they worked for the Red Cross. So they're kind of a heart on their sleeve.
Yep.
People, they really care, the entire team. It wouldn't surprise you, in the care area is all women. They're compassionate women that love working with families, that when somebody passes, they're crying with the family member on the phone.
Yeah.
Get cards all the time. Recently, one of our care consultants got a gift from a family. He's like, I want to send you a bottle of wine. Thank you for your help. She's like, I don't drink. So he sent her a box of chocolates and 5 packages of Kool-Aid.
That is awesome.
So that's the kind of relationship. Our walls are covered in our offices with either a butterfly or a daisy. And these are little stickers that are there. And we write the amounts that we get back for the families. And they're all over the wall.
That's awesome.
There's hundreds of them. You know, the people that do our intake are people that have a nursing background. So what we do is that if somebody's at the point they're ready to go into care or they've just gone into care, we do a free policy review. So we will go through that process to talk to the family, what's going on, what's happening, tell us about your situation, tell us a little bit about your past. We get a copy of their policy, we look through that, we explain what's going on. And if we think that we can really be a big help to them, a lot of our customers do business with us because it's a time issue. I don't have time or knowledge to do that.
Right.
And I don't want to make a mistake that we're going to get denied, or I don't want to make a mistake that we're going to leave a bunch of money on the table. And it's just no more complicated than that. So we do that all over the country. Most of our business comes from 80% of our business comes from referrals.
It's referrals from
care communities, home health, placement agents, elder law attorneys, downsizing agents, geriatric care managers, people that are working with the family at that flashpoint that they need to move into home care or long-term care. That's who's bringing us in to say, hey, we have some people that every single policy that comes in, every customer, they're engaging us because they want to make sure nothing's getting overlooked.
Ben, that is such an incredible service that you really don't understand the stress of trying to figure out all of that until you hit it. You know, you think things, oh yeah, we have these benefits, we have this policy. The fact that you're efforting to help families navigate and advocate for them, really appreciate your guys' mission with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's the most meaningful work that I've ever done. You know, and I've done a lot of different things as an entrepreneur and a business owner. And it's I love where I am in my life right now and how I'm spending my time. And it's fun building businesses, but if I can build businesses and I can make an impact you know, I'm hoping with the book that we can impact hundreds of thousands of families' lives and, you know, help them find money that they didn't know was available and understand what's going on and realize there's resources to help the families out there.
Well, that is fantastic. So when your book comes out, your book drops on the 18th, is that correct?
March 18th on Amazon.
Paying for Long-Term Care, March 18th. Well, we'll take 10 advance copies, and anybody that's listening who wants to ping me on, we do most of our advertising, et cetera, intellectual property sharing is through LinkedIn and other means because we're connecting with a lot of CEOs, COOs on senior living communities. But we'll take 10 advance copies and we'll give it to all of our listeners. We'd love that.
Thank you so much. And I would just ask you to please, you know, buy those on the 18th or 19th as we, yep, you know, go to try to be a bestseller in three or four categories on Amazon. We think we've got a good chance just with the network and the people we know. And I appreciate that. And
yeah, we'll do whatever. We want to support you however we can, because this is not, it's not easy for families to get somebody that is from the inside. It's almost like that scene from The Incredibles. Did you ever see the scene?
I love The Incredibles. Well, go ahead.
When he's working in the insurance company and the lady's coming to him and she's worn out by having to deal with the insurance company. And yeah, he lays out the strategy. First, you have to go to this floor, you have to fill out this form, then you have to go down to that floor and fill out. So it's basically like, and then all of a sudden claims are starting to flow through. And that's not dissimilar to the actual experience. Like if you just knew what their path was, you could access the what you had already purchased. But that's just a fantastic scene.
Did you just call me Mr. Incredible?
Well, I guess. I guess you are Mr. Incredible when... Are you left-handed? Because only left-handed people are super cool. But I will consider you Mr. Incredible for all of your work here. So, well, that's fantastic. March 18th, paying for long-term care. We're excited to be a small part of you guys getting the word out and you getting the word out as well.
Oh, so. Thank you. And it's payingforlongtermcare.com is where that website should be live, I think, on March 1st, right before we launch.
Fantastic.
And there's going to be dozens of things for families there to be able to download and tools and different things and comparisons and calculators. And, you know, familysolutionsforcare.com is where you can find details there too. I will say one of the biggest things that of interest for people that are professionals in the industry, they look at what we do at Family Solutions for Care a lot of the times and they say, well, we know how to invoice insurance companies. And it is so far beyond that. We all aren't experts. We're experts in our own field. And we look at it, I say, oh, sure, Mark. Yeah, you guys, you know, you go to people's house and you're a companion and you're there to do some stuff. And then there's so much more than that. We all don't know the depths of what we all do in our other companies. But we sometimes can spend 40 or 50 hours to get a claim approved. We just had a customer day before yesterday who had spent 100 hours of his time working to get a claim approved. And he's like, I heard about your service, immediately hired us. We're on it. We're doing it. Wow. And if you go out to Google, you'll see reviews from families that we've helped. And, I'm easy to find on LinkedIn as well. So,
yep,
you know, I'd love to help or connect with anybody. You know, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Yeah. We'd love more information on that, on the services. I think as the Home Care Advocacy Network expands nationally, and then we'll also be, our brand will be represented, hopefully, if we can make it there in Shanghai in November. You know, there's global needs when it comes to long-term care, aging services, and whatnot. So we'd love to be able to spread the word, and we appreciate you being kind of tip of the spear in this. So
thanks so much, Mark.
Yep. So today we had this great discussion with Ben Rayo with Family Solutions for Care, who's launching a book, Paying for Long-Term Care, set to drop on March 18th. And that website again, payingforlongtermcare.com. Thank you again, Ben, very much.
Thanks so much, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to The Home Care Hub, a podcast series for the Home Care Advocacy Network. HCAN is a business format franchise for senior living providers who want to operate a successful home care line of business, and a great opportunity for any entrepreneur who wants to own their own home care franchise. To connect with us, visit hcanthrive.com today.